Revenge, retaliation, and retribution make for incredible movies. Like, if you think about it, like Gladiator, for example. What an incredible story of somebody who was wronged and who spends their life positioning themselves to get back to a place to seek ultimate revenge on those who hurt him. The new movie that just came out, The Equalizer 2, not too long ago, the whole idea is this guy's friend and partner in crime was kind of partner in what they did was murdered. And so the whole movie is him going back and then seeking revenge on those that had taken her life. And then my favorite of all time, Rocky IV. You know, Ivan Drago kills his friend. And so Rocky goes through this incredible training deal, music in the background, snow on the ground, carrying trees on his back. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. All of that to get to the moment where he's in the ring. And remember when he starts to, my favorite part of the movie is when he starts to do the uppercuts on the ribs and Ivan Drago is lifted off the ground. And like with every punch, every crushing blow to the ribs, we're celebrating because Rocky's getting his revenge. You see, revenge, retaliation, retribution, they make for incredible movies. Why? Because people stew on this idea that man, they're just going to wait for the right moment to pounce, to wait for the opportune time when the person's guard down, to wait for the time and the moment where they can inflict the most harm on them. Oh, you will pay. Oh, you will wish you had never crossed me. They scheme, they strategize, they long for the day when all will be made right, the good will win, and the evil will be destroyed. Revenge, retaliation, and retribution make for amazing movies. However, reconciliation, redemption, and restoration are the stuff that make for the greatest story of all time. And it's true. It's not a script. It's not actors. Here's what's even crazier. We're actually in the story. We're characters in the greatest story of all time. And this story is the story of God sending his son into this world full of grace to meet us in our greatest need. You see, the greatest story of all time has nothing to do with retaliation and revenge. The greatest story of all time has to do with grace. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14, this is what the scripture says about Jesus. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, when Jesus shows up, he doesn't show up as a heavenly warrior ready to make people pay for their unfaithfulness and sin. Instead, he shows up as a baby born in humble circumstances to serve mankind in a way that we could not serve ourselves. For a few moments this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something. In a time that's filled with holiday stuff and work stuff and family stuff and financial stuff, and for some of the students in the room, finals stuff, let's spend some time focusing our attention on Jesus, who came stuffed full of grace. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that over the next few moments that our hearts would be open to who you are, that though we love stories of revenge, God, thank you that that's not the story of Christmas. If it were, we wouldn't be here. And God, I pray that we would truly be able to embrace the grace that you've offered us, that whether we're a believer in the room who needs to tighten our grip on the grace that you've given us, or maybe for those who are still searching, that today would be the day that they let go of the stuff that they're holding to grab onto the grace that you've offered. May today be a day where we realize just what Christmas is all about. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus comes to earth not full of wrath or judgment, but instead he comes full of grace. And grace is unmerited favor. It's a step beyond mercy. See, mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. It's when you do something wrong and instead of being punished, the person has mercy and doesn't punish you. But grace goes a step further. Grace is not only do you not get what you deserve, but you get what you don't deserve. You receive a gift in the midst of your unfaithfulness. Jesus came bearing grace and offered it to people, people like you and me, who didn't deserve a gift, didn't do anything to get it. You know, Christmas is probably the most humbling time of the year. It's a time when we remember that the God of all creation met us with grace. You see, our world doesn't understand grace, and honestly, neither do we until we meet Jesus. Grace isn't fair. It goes further than anybody would expect. Grace is overboard. Grace is ridiculous. Grace doesn't make any sense. Grace is a really bad math equation. Grace is a really bad movie. Imagine how grace would ruin the movies I mentioned before. Imagine in Rocky IV that after Ivan Drago kills his friend Apollo Creed, Rocky shows up at Ivan's house with a mincemeat pie and wants to celebrate with him. That would be the worst movie of all time. We would be like, I don't want to watch this. Imagine if during The Equalizer 2, instead of, you know, Denzel Washington going beast mode and like doing like what he does with thousands of people in the movie, like how does he do all that with one person? I don't know. But imagine if he just showed up and he gave them all a gift and that was the movie. I mean, you and I would be demanding a refund. Why? No one wants that. I mean, nobody, that doesn't work in our world, man. When somebody wrongs you, a good story is how you are going to scheme and strategize and make that person pay. Ladies and gentlemen, what if that was the story of Christmas? Christmas wouldn't be something to celebrate. Honestly, we wouldn't be here. The church wouldn't exist. There would be no gift giving. There would be no fun. It would be a disaster. Why? Imagine if the God of all creation schemed against us, strategized against us because of our unfaithfulness and sin. Christmas is the story of grace. I mean, but we get it wrong, don't we? I mean, I'm not going to say anything here, so don't get nervous if you got kids in the room, okay? Because I've been there before. But think of Santa. I mean, the concept that if you're good, you get gifts. If you're not good, you get on the naughty list, right? And if you get on the naughty list, then you don't get gifts. So you got to be good because he's watching, because if he watches and you do something wrong and you get on the naughty list, you're going to get coal in your stocking, right? Now, we all think, oh, it's so cute. What a great story. Santa, you know. But it's totally opposite of the true story of Christmas, which is Jesus looked at us and saw us, and we're on the naughty list. I mean, there ain't nobody that's in this room or hearing my voice that wasn't on the naughty list. And the truth is, many of us who are saved are still on the naughty list. But Jesus looks at our life, and instead of giving us what we deserve, Jesus instead gives us what we don't deserve and gives us the greatest gift in the world. He meets our greatest needs. So today I want us to look at three important truths about grace as we embrace fully and sift through the stuff to find what Christmas is all about. Here's the first truth about grace we need to hear today. Grace is from the Father. Grace is from the Father. Verse 14 of John chapter 1 says, glory is of the only Son from the Father. I don't know about you, but this is healing in so many ways. What our dad thinks about us matters. I don't care how deadbeat your dad could possibly be. What he thinks about you and what he says about you matters. If you look at the brokenness that's in our world today, specifically the brokenness that we find in our society here in America, much of it has to do with fatherless homes, broken homes, the lack of somebody in the fatherly role encouraging and speaking life into their children. Now, I'm not blaming every issue on this, but you and I both know if you ever sit down with somebody who's going through very difficult things, almost always it can get connected to that broken relationship with their father. We live in a society with dad wounds. We see the effects everywhere. But this is a life, it's life-changing to see here in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Father, the Heavenly Father, loves mankind enough to meet their greatest need and by sending us Jesus full of grace. And it's important that we see in verse 14 that the writer decides to write that little thing in there for us. It says, from the Father. Jesus is a gift from the Father. This is very important to us. It's very important for us to know where the greatest gift in the world comes from. Jesus comes stuffed full of grace, enough grace to impact the lives of mankind and all humanity for all eternity. That grace, that unmerited favor, that unstoppable force comes from the Father. Now, I don't know what your relationship is or was with your earthly father. Maybe some of you have a great relationship with your father. Maybe your father's even in the room. And after this, you guys are going to go out and eat and watch football together and be dad and son. And you're going to go bass fishing and do all the other things dads do with their sons. You're going to fix a car or something, right? But for some of you, like that, you haven't talked to your dad. You don't even know where your dad is. Some of you, your dad's gone. And it's it's a wound in your life. It's, what if I just said that? What if we could have Christmas right now? You don't have to wait till the 25th. You don't have to wait till the presents. You don't have to wait till the hot cocoa. You don't have to wait till you're in your pajamas. You don't have to wait for any of that. You can have Christmas right now when you get this. You ready for this? The Heavenly Father over all creation loves you. The greatest gift you've ever needed was given to you by a Heavenly Father who loves you. Man, what if we got that today? What if every person in this room understood that, received that, embraced that? I truly believe we'd live differently. We can experience healing the moment you realize that our Heavenly Father didn't scheme against us. He didn't plot revenge against us, did not plot to retaliate against us, but instead he sent Jesus full of grace to reconcile us, to restore us, to give us grace. We have a Heavenly Father who knew what we needed most and met us in the midst of our mess and took on the pain, the punishment, and the sentence that was meant for us so we could have life. That's the grace of Christmas. It comes from the Father. There can be healing in our hearts, healing in this room, healing if you're listening to my voice right now, healing in our community, healing in our world when we wake up each day and we realize that there is a Heavenly Father over all creation who knows us by name and loved us enough to meet our greatest needs. You don't have to perform. You don't have to have fear anymore. You don't have to hide. And you don't for another second have to wonder if you have a Father who loves you. He already proved it. He loved you and me through Christ. He loved us by meeting our greatest need. He loved us when he sent his son full of grace. You know, who a gift is from is important. You guys know this. And when we gather around the Christmas tree, there's the presents under the tree. And, you know, everybody has that one aunt. Now, I've got one of my aunts in the room. I'm not talking about you, Aunt Sharon, okay? But everybody's got an aunt, you know, who gets you really weird gifts. You know what I'm saying? You got an aunt who gives you a fruit cake, you know, like, ugh, you know, and she wraps it in a box and puts it on the tree. It's like, then you open it, it's already old. Fruitcake's already nasty, but then it's even nastier when it's old. You got an aunt who gives you a weird sweater. You always got somebody in your family that when you see that little label on the gift and you see it's from that person, you know, don't give your hopes up. It's going to be whack, okay? It's going to be something that they pulled out of their closet at some point because it was free, right? But man, oh, how, don't you think that's crazy? We have an entire industry. Check it out. Somebody makes their living. Somebody has a house and a car and sends their kids to school because they make labels that go on gifts just so the person who's opening it can know who it's from. That's how important it is to know where a gift comes from. You have a gift today, and that gift is grace, and that the from on the little label is the Father. That's who it's from. And you might be here today and you are struggling in your life because you don't have that. That's missing in your life. Somebody wasn't there to speak that into you, or maybe the person that was supposed to speak that into you instead spoke other things into you, maybe hurt you or harmed you, and that has hurt the way that you view God. Can you hear me today? There is a gift that's under the tree for you all year round called grace, and it's from the Father. That's something that we need to hear today. But we also need to hear this. The second truth about grace from Christmas is this. Grace is a gift we must receive. Grace is a gift we must receive. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Grace is not simply a mindset or an idea. Grace is a real gift. Check this out. I think the next few moments of this message could be life-changing for you. Please listen. Grace is a real gift that we access through faith. Grace is a real gift that we access through faith. Once we place our faith, check this out, in the completed and continued work of Jesus, we access grace. But until we've placed our faith in the completed and continued work of Jesus, grace is still a gift that's offered to us, but we haven't received it yet. There are people that are around grace, but they've never received grace because they've never placed their faith in Christ. We cannot access grace without faith. We try to all the time, don't we? And what we do is we create a cheapened version of grace. It's not real grace. We don't embrace all that there is in Christ. We don't embrace the faith that's offered to us in Christ. And therefore, we live our lives disconnected from grace, only seeing it as an idea. And our cheapened version of grace elevates our own deficiencies instead of the perfect love that covers those deficiencies. See, grace is not you being okay with all of your mess. That's not grace. Grace is when you realize that God loves you in spite of your mess and offered you the love that can perfect you through Christ. That's grace. Grace from the Father is accessed through trusting Him more than trusting ourselves. Grace does not leave us in our mess. Grace finds us in our mess, but it doesn't leave us there. Grace saves, grace rescues, grace restores. In other words, the evidence of grace is a changed heart. It's a changed mind. And as a result of a changed heart and a changed mind, it's a change of actions. That's how we know if we've received grace. There's a lot of people in this room that are close to grace. You have an understanding or a mindset around grace, but you've never received grace, and therefore your life's never changed. I mean, you can say the Bible verses, you've been to church, you kind of know stuff, you know about grace. You might even have shared the story of grace with other people. But in your own heart and life, you are unchanged, not because grace isn't offered to you, not because the gift is broken. It's because the gift hasn't been received. It's still sitting under your tree, wrapped. Grace is a gift that we must receive. It's when we realize that He not only doesn't give us what we deserve, but gives us what we don't deserve, it causes change. It's not that we just get away with sin or get away with evil. It's that He saw what we did, He saw what we were going to, and still chose to pay the penalty for us to give us forgiveness and freedom. If that doesn't lead us to change, ladies and gentlemen, if understanding that God loves you in the midst of your mess and offered a way out, offered a way to rescue and redeem you even in the midst of our mess, if that doesn't change us, the truth is, I don't know if anything will. My favorite story of this is the story of Zacchaeus. Seriously, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, in Luke chapter 19, you see this little short guy named Zacchaeus. You know, he's a tax collector. He stole a lot of money from a lot of people. No one liked him. He was annoying. And Jesus is walking through, and Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, and the crowd's gathering around Jesus. And believe me, nobody's making room for Zacchaeus because they hate him, and they don't think he deserves to see Jesus. And he's little too, so they're just like, whatever. He gets pushed behind. Zacchaeus is like, I got to see Jesus. You know, so I don't know if you talk like that, right? But probably not, but. He climbs up in the tree and he looks down and he sees Jesus and he's totally satisfied looking at Jesus from afar. He's like, that's hope. That's grace. That's Jesus. But Zacchaeus' life didn't change while he was in the tree. Zacchaeus' life changed the moment Jesus looked up and said, hey, Zacchaeus, come down here. I got to stay at your house today. And in that moment, now some people think that's just in that moment, this is what Zacchaeus realized. All the things I have done, they don't separate me from the love of God. I haven't disqualified myself yet. Because Jesus still loves me. And Jesus wants to hang with me. And regardless of the fact that nobody's making room for me to see Him, Jesus saw me, called me by name, and says, I'm going to stay at your house. That's a huge deal. I mean, first of all, it's a huge deal in today's world. You don't just have anybody stay at your house. And if you do, something's wrong with you. Usually, if somebody stays at your house, you know them, you care about them, you love them. Or if they're a stranger, you know about them, you have some type of trust. You're letting somebody in to your place, to your house, to hang with you. Jesus says, I want to come stay at your house, Zacchaeus. Of all the people in this area, I want to stay with you. I am entering into your world, into your mess, into your life to hang with your friends because I love you. That changes Zacchaeus. And check this out. What I love about the story of Zacchaeus is as soon as he comes down from the tree, right? There wasn't an altar call. There wasn't a song. There wasn't somebody like me getting up and preaching. simply the embrace of Jesus, Zacchaeus says this, if there's anybody I've defrauded, I'll pay them back four times, and I take half of what I own and I give it to the poor. Here's what's crazy. Jesus didn't ask him to do any of that. There's not a verse that says when you get saved, you got to give half to the poor and give back to anyone you defrauded four times. He's not obeying some type of scripture someplace. He's simply responding in generosity because he's received grace. I think what's so crazy is that type of response is very rare in our world today. When we come to Jesus, we negotiate. All right, well, I'm going to keep this, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll give you this, but this is mine, you know, like you do this and you know what? I mean, I'll tithe. I'll give my 10. I'll give you church 2-3 times a month, okay? I'll serve, okay? But I've got some things that I'm going to hold on to with a death grip because they're important to me. And I'm just saying, like, I look at this, and grace is a gift we've got to receive. And when we see somebody in the scripture receive grace, they let go of everything else. They let go of everything else so they can fully embrace all that grace is. Zacchaeus is one of my favorite stories in the scripture because no one had to pry anything from him reluctantly. He responded to grace with generosity. His value system was changed because of grace. He received grace and it loosened his grip on all the things that he used to hold so tightly. Does that make anybody in the room think of their own life? I want to ask a self-inspection question. What are you holding on to most tightly in your life right now? Now, I know that there's some people in this room that say, what I'm holding on to most tightly right now is the grace of Jesus Christ. It's all I got. But the scary thing is that in a room this size, there are a lot of people in this room that are Christians, that have been a part of Good Life for a long time, that come and hear messages almost every week, and they even serve, and they might even be ministry leaders. But the truth is, when we ask the question, what are you holding on to most tightly right now? The answer isn't God's grace, it's something else. Maybe your answer is your reputation. You're holding on to your reputation so tightly that you're not able to embrace and receive grace. You're holding on to your so-called freedom so tightly that you're not able to truly embrace grace. You're holding on to your agenda, your stuff, your way more than the grace that God's given you. And you're wondering why your life hasn't changed. Well, let me ask you, what are you holding on to most tightly? Zacchaeus let go of the stuff that mattered to him so he can embrace the grace of Jesus. That's true for us today. You see, not only do we hear the truth that grace is from the Father, but we also hear the truth that grace must be received. And man, it is so hard to embrace and receive grace when our hands are filled with things that don't matter. So the challenge for us today is let today be a day where we trade in whatever it is that we're holding on to most tightly for the thing that we need most, which is grace. Grace is from the Father. Number two, grace is a gift we must receive. And three is this, grace is a gift that's meant to be regifted. All right, so I watch Saturday Night Live every once in a while, okay? I know it's inappropriate, but it's funny, okay? And sometimes I have a hard time sleeping. And Saturday Night Live had a skit years ago, okay? And there was a song, I won't sing it for you, and I watched the video. I really wanted to show up, but I'm like, it's edgy, okay? So I'll give you the watered-down Christian version, and then you're going to go home and watch it and then judge me for liking it, okay? But that's just so we get all that out, right? So it's about a song that's called the Peach Candle, okay? And the idea of the song is that in the Christmas time, there's always weird situations you get in where somebody at your office, you know there's an expectation that you get them a gift. But you don't really know, and you're about to go to work, and you realize, oh my gosh, the office party's today. I haven't given this person anything. And so you open up your closet to find some junk, right? And you find a candle that somebody gave to you last year that you haven't used yet. And you take that light peach candle, and you put a little ribbon on it, and you give it to the person, and they receive it as a gift. And then the second verse is about how you're sitting down with an acquaintance over lunch, and it's around Christmas time, and they reach in their purse, and they pull out a gift that's wrapped for you, and you're like, oh, yeah, thanks so much. And then you reach down, ladies, in your purse, like, oh, gosh, please, let there be something in here. And then there is the candle that you got from your boyfriend's mom or your husband's mom, and you're like, okay, here's perfect. And then you give that gift to them, right? And this is idea that you get a gift with the intention of giving it away. Now, the truth about that song, what's silly about that song, is when you give that cheap peach candle that you got for $8.99 from the Kirklands or something like that, and you give that away, you lose it. It's no longer yours. But the beauty of grace is that it is a gift that Jesus gives us. It's a gift that the Father gives us, and he's intending for us to give it away to other people. But the cool thing about grace is when you give grace to somebody else, you don't lose it. It's not a gift that you get. It's not like Jesus gives you his grace and you have to make the decision. Am I going to enjoy and embrace this, or am I going to give it away? You don't have to make the choice. You can have both. You can enjoy the grace of Jesus and give it away. But a lot of people miss this. They fall so in love with the grace that Jesus has offered to them that they don't take any time to think that there's people around them that need that same grace. And man, I'm telling you, I've seen this happen for years and years and years in ministry. And unfortunately, I've seen it happen in our local church. God has done an incredible work in your life here. But the honest assessment is what happens in this room, does it stay in this room for you? Now, he does not know I'm going to do this, but I just feel like I have to because it goes right along with the sermon, and it happened yesterday, and it's fresh on my mind. So I stopped going to this like barbershop a while back because I got uncomfortable in there. There was a guy who worked there, and I didn't really like him, and it just made me feel weird. So I was like, I'm not going to go back in there. And yesterday I'm driving, and it's early, and my mom was coming in town. I was like, I got to get a haircut because my hair was looking straight bushy, right? It was just looking like a Q-tip. And you know when somebody sees you and they say, they look at you and they're like, oh, I like what you're doing with your hair. Yeah, I'm like, that means I got to get a haircut, okay? So I went in there, I waited, and I was getting my haircut. And the lady that owns the shop, I used to go in there all the time when we first moved here, which is crazy, like 6 years ago. And she's like, oh my gosh, I missed you. And I start telling her about how, oh, I'll tell you the real reason I didn't come. I told her, she's like, it's okay, we let that guy go. You know, we understand. I'm like, okay, we're talking. And she's like, hey, do you... you know Donald, right? Now, if you guys, Donald's Don Jankowski in our church, all right? And I was like, yeah, I know Don. She's like, you won't believe what he did. I lost my husband last year. And when my husband was sick, Don would call, and he wanted his number. And Don would call and check on him and pray for him. And then the day Don called and he wasn't there, I had to call him back and say, hey, Don, I want to let you know my husband passed away. And Don prayed for her. And every time Don goes and gets a haircut, he always checks on her, always. And she said to me, this is what she said. I didn't make this up. She said this to me. I don't know what happened to Donald, but he is not the same person that he used to be. And this is what I'd say to you. That's grace. It's when you receive the grace of Jesus and it changes the way you look at life. It changes the way you see other people. You are simply offering to somebody else what you have already been given. Why in the world would Don spend the time to go encourage this guy that he barely knows because he's connected to the lady who cuts his hair? Why would he do that? Well, because when Don was hurting, people came and visited him. When he was sick, people prayed for him. So all he's doing is turning around and giving the gift that he has received. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason the church still exists 2,000 years later is that's the story of the church. People receive the gift of Jesus and they go out and they share it with the world. This church, Good Life Church, or any other church in our community that does not get that will cease to be in existence in a handful of years. Because the reason we exist is to communicate the same grace we've received with the people around us. Grace is a gift that's meant to be regifted, but you don't lose it when you regift it. The truth is you actually embrace it even more, because when you give it away, it reminds you that you were given in the first place. Because what you're offering to somebody is not something that comes naturally. It's not something you had when you were born. It's something you received from Jesus, and you're giving it. And as you give it, you're reminded that you received it. That's grace. And you might be in the room and you're like, dude, I've gone to every study. I mean, I've gone to this Bible study. I've gone to this small group. I've read this book. I study the Bible. I read the Good Life Journal every week. I come to church every week. I'm just like, I can't figure out. Like, I'm still miserable. I'm still sad. I'm still broken. My question is, have you given grace? Have you given what you've received? Because when you give what you receive, you actually embrace it more than you had in the first place. I want to give you a few areas that you can share grace today. The first is in speech. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says this. Listen to the words. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Ephesians 4, 29 says this. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Oh, in a world today where negativity is just, it's all around. I mean, the news, politics, it's everywhere. Even sports. I mean, there's a dude who makes his whole living off complaining about sports. And his voice is so annoying, but people keep watching it. Why? Because it's like, that's what everybody does. Everybody's tearing down. Everybody's talking about how trash somebody is, or how, you know, everyone's just waiting for somebody to mess up so we can thrash them publicly. What if the people in this room said, instead of doing that with my words, I'm going to give grace with my words. I'm going to make deposits instead of making debits from people's lives. You can do that today. You can choose today to say, from now until the end of this year, I'm going to use my words to build people up. And you know what's crazy? When you do that, it's not common. Like, the next time you go to if you go to a restaurant after this, side note, if you go to a restaurant after this, be gracious. Be kind to the waitress or waiter. Like, be kind in your tip. Be kind with the way you treat them. Why? Because if you come somewhat, I mean, I know we don't really dress up a good life, but, you know, if you come and you're somewhat dressed, not in pajamas, they assume you went to church, right? Because it's Sunday morning. And so my thing is this, like, be kind. Like, be gracious to them. Say, thank you. Like, you're doing a great job. And it's amazing how people respond, because not many people are like that. They're used to negativity. They're assumed that you're going to treat people poorly. And you can use your speech to encourage them. What about serving? 2 Corinthians 9:8 says it this way, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. I love this passage. What it's saying is this: you've been given grace, you're abounding in grace, therefore abound in good works. You've been given much from God. You've been given forgiveness from God. You've been given security from God. You've been given a sonship or daughtership from God. Now turn around and share it with somebody else. Don't you realize that God gives you the grace so you can respond to the grace with good works in this world? Not because you can earn the grace that God's given you, but because there are people around you that desperately need it. You can share grace today, re-gift grace today by serving. And finally, forgiveness. Colossians 3:13 says this, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. This is a huge one. I truly feel like this is why there's so many Christians that aren't joyful. I truly believe this is why there's so many Christians that their life looks like everybody else's. And it's not because they haven't been forgiven by Jesus, but because they've never taken the next step to offer that forgiveness to somebody who's hurt them. The grace of Jesus is a gift that's meant to be given away. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You can give grace. You can give the gift that's been given to you. You can give it away to somebody else. You can use your speech to do it. You can serve other people, and you can forgive other people. Now, there are hundreds of movies, thousands of movies. Get on Netflix today and do a little test. Scroll through and see how many movies are based on retaliation, retribution, and revenge. They make for amazing movies. But the greatest story that's ever been told is about reconciliation, redemption, grace. The story of Christmas is not the story of how Jesus came to earth as a warrior to make battle with the people who were unfaithful to his Father. The story of Christmas is how Jesus came to us in the form of a baby, filled with grace, stuffed full of grace, and that grace would impact all of eternity and all of humanity. The reason our church exists is because grace was given through Christ on Christmas morning. What are we doing with the grace that we've received? Remember, grace is from the Father. If you have dad wound today, if you have an issue there, if you have a hard time connecting with God because of the father-child relationship, I'd encourage you today, know this. There is a Father who's given you a gift called grace. He's put his name on it, and it's from him. Nothing you can do can undo that. He will never take that gift away, but he's given to you. But the second thing is, remember, you got to receive it. Grace doesn't become real to you until you receive it. It's a gift that has to be received. Receive the grace of Jesus today. Unwrap the gift of Jesus today. Maybe one of the reasons your life hasn't changed yet is because the gift is still under the tree. You know about it. You're familiar with it. You've been close enough to it, but you've never received it. Let today be the day you receive it. And maybe one of the reasons you haven't received it is because you're holding so tightly to stuff, ladies and gentlemen, that simply doesn't matter. Let me ask you this question. Think about the thing that you're holding on to too tightly. And I know this is going to be morbid, but it's true. I spent many hours this week at funerals. When you die, that thing you're holding on to, will you still have it? If the answer is grace, the answer is yes. It's your ticket to see Jesus. If the answer is anything else, the answer is you won't be holding on to it. You'll be holding on to nothing. Finally, grace is for you to give away. What if you just took the challenge from today until the end of this year to say, I am going to share the grace that I've received? Revenge and retaliation make for great movies, but the greatest story that's ever been told is a story of reconciliation and grace. And check it out. You and me are in the story. Would you bow your heads and pray with me?